Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to a special edition of the Catholic Defender Radio Show. Tonight with your host Don Hartley, the Catholic Defender, we will examine in depth the truths of our faith and why we believe them. Tonight, Don Hartley's guest host is Dr. Gregory Thompson, an expert on many of the Eucharistic miracles proving the real presence of Jesus in the consecrated host. Tonight, Dr. Thompson will lead an in-depth examination of one of these Eucharistic miracles. Here now is Dr. Thompson.
Good evening around the world, and what a beautiful, beautiful opening tonight. Thank you for that, for Donald, for that. And if any of you out there listening would like to get one of Donna Corey Gibson's, or Donna Corey's, I guess what she goes by, Donna Corey's, audio, videos, get in touch with us, and we'll make that connection. I just set her up for this Lent to go up to Hannibal, Missouri, and over to Palmyra, Missouri, to on a Friday at each location, and to have her songs of the Stations of the Cross. Donald, I know you've probably seen that before, haven't you? Or have you seen that before?
Yes, I saw it before, and I tell you, it's wonderful. And I use it in some of my talks and some of my outings, and I have it on YouTube as well. So I've been putting it on some of the shows here because of the 15 stations of the cross. Yeah.
One of the most beautiful renditions of the Stations of the Cross I've ever seen is Donna Corey Gibson's, and how she sings for an hour and 20 minutes almost nonstop, and shows it in video and the passion as it happens, and just pretty remarkable, you know. And anyway, but thank you for that opening tonight, and just want to make that connection, you know, whenever we have that, where we can connect people to, very gifted people like Donna Corey. So so many wonderful things happening, guys. Just I'm still down here at, you can't get down here where I am without a helicopter. I'm down at Sykeston, Missouri, which is almost a five-hour drive from home. Almost 5 hour drive from home, and all is good. And so keep in prayer. We're going to be having some major events this month, and our first physical one will be doing a over at St. Cletus in St. Charles, Missouri. Speaking to their students and showing them, talking to them about the Eucharist and Mary, and showing them the relics, you know, very, very powerful outing with the children again. And then down at the next day on Friday, I'll be at up at Florissant, Missouri, at St. Angela Merici Church, and doing an event for them for First Friday, Our Sorrowful Mother is what they asked me to speak on, but it's for Lent. So pray for those things. You know, we got some major things coming up this month, and as you see, if you follow Donald's emails and texts, you'll see somebody that is just unstoppable. Just the good Lord has blessed you, Donald, in just getting out so many things that would touch the hearts of the children, the parents and their families, and everyone out there that is, you know, that knows the Catholic Church. And if you don't, what a great time to convert or revert back to the faith. You know, we have, these Eucharistic miracles are from a awesomely holy God that wants to bring things to his children, knowing how weak we are. And I'm talking to everybody on this phone tonight that's listening tonight. We're all weak in our flesh, and Satan can manipulate us, and has done it for families and individuals. When I ask people at the conferences now about how many of you have someone, a family or a good friend, away from the church, every hand goes up, even the priests. You know, we're just remarkable how many families. I know I've experienced it in my own family, and it's Satan is attacking. And when we hear the words of the good Lord when he says that most people will take the wide road to perdition, he's telling us that most people of their own free will choose to do things their ways. They'll design their own God. They will do all things, types of things, and you see it in our culture of today, as so many people are not even having a faith. I think they said 20-some percent now are have no faith, or say they have no allegiance to any religious affiliation at all right now. And so we're seeing the fallout of that, you know, and we have to bring it on us first, you know, What's it say about we have to start with the church when we bring things up like this, you know.
Yeah.
That it begins in the house of God. And we, you know, are sadly, and we need to pray for them. We need to pray for them because we don't have a church without the priests, the consecration of the Eucharist, you know, and the Mass. Those things don't happen without the priest. And without the Mass and the Eucharist, you know, we don't have a church. So we need to be praying for them. Right now, we're going to say a prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we come to you, our Creator, and you say to seek, ask, and knock. And we're doing that, Lord. We're seeking you. We're asking. We're knocking. Please help us to say the prayers that lift the people that are responsible. We have to have that first judgment is in the house of God, that those that are supposed to be shepherds, that they become true shepherds, that they put above all else that they do, they put the souls of others as the most eminent of all things that they do, the souls of others, that they look out for the souls of others before anything else that they do. And that's only going to happen by our part, by prayer and going to Mass and confession and trying to battle back Satan. You know, we can all talk tough. You know, I've heard us on this program before. We talk pretty tough. But it's all just talk without the Holy Spirit. And that's why we have to ask every day, Lord, help us to die to ourselves. It's about you, Lord. And if we die to ourselves so that we can know, love, and serve you more each day, to glorify you, to venerate your mother, and to defend your bride, the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, that's what we're called to do. And as Catholics, if we do that, we would indeed set the world on fire. So let's work toward that and let it get beyond just talk. You know, we have to get past the rhetoric. We have to get to the point of action, and that's what the Lord's. And first of all, I'm going to tell you right away, for sure, the greatest action you can start out doing is on your knees. Get on your knees and pray for those that are headed to hell. Guys, all of us know people that are headed to hell, you know, but we can pray for them, and hopefully, like little 7-year-old Jacinta, you know, prayed rosary after rosary when Mary showed him hell on July 13th, 1917. That little girl became a warrior that just made her whole life about souls, and so. There's a special name for those that give their lives to pain and suffering for others.
Victim souls.
Victim souls. And my golly, that little girl was a victim soul. And we all need to do at different levels because, you know, maybe, you know, we look at other people's crosses and saying, Lord, you know, we may feel at times like Saint Mother Teresa, you know, and somebody told her, said, God won't give you more than you can handle. And Mother Teresa said, I just wish he wouldn't trust me so much, you know. And that's so true. I mean, we can feel that way, you know, because we're humans. And we need miraculous happenings in our life. And that's what we're bringing you on these Monday nights. From 8 to 9 are miraculous things from a loving God that loves you so much. He knows how weak we are, that the miraculous, when something supernatural happens and we see or read about it or experience it, it's something that can impact our lives forever. You know, it's for sure. So God help us in our walk each night, and especially when we're trying to reach out all around the world for souls. Lord, help us. that the Holy Spirit leads the charge, and that we, you know, that we honor and venerate Mary as our general to help glorify her son and bring souls to her son for eternity. So I don't have any reading tonight. I don't have anything before me to read tonight. So I just wanted to tell my brother Donald, thank you for making it possible that we have this venue. Although I was praying for this venue, and then you come along and say, hey, I got one for you. It was just one of those things when I'd told a group back in right after our first marrying conference, you know, they asked me to put together a Marian association and direct it. And I said, okay, I'll do that. And, I said, get me 10 people that have consecrated themselves to the Sacred Heart of Jesus through the Sorrowful Immaculate Heart of Mary. And that night I said, what you're getting ready to start here tonight, years ago, I said, this is going to touch people all the way around the world. And no accidents happen when this warrior named Donald came into my presence and made possible, as it all connected, it made it possible for that to happen. So tonight, just I want you to pray for Donald and his life. I know he's had struggles, you know, with his family, with his health, you know, with different things in his life. Michael, I know, has struggled with his health, and I know all of us have family issues and stuff. Pray for all of us, all Doc and Kathy, and all of us as we come together and try to bring these things to you of our efforts to glorify Jesus, because he wants to bring you a gift that we can't even come close to, and that is the Eucharistic presence in the lives of people. And that is supernatural thing when the good Lord brings these things that happens at every Mass. And, you know, we are blessed to be able to participate as much as possible. And Michael, thank you. It's a little bit windy tonight because I hadn't got to be here for a minute.
Oh, I'll be bringing him on here in just a minute. I was just giving you your opportunity to let you know that we have somebody from Cleveland, Tennessee, that just sent this word. Amen. I'm back in Mass. It is so great, and I'm grateful. I'll be in surgery soon. I hope to be home in a few months. Amen. And then I have somebody here from Eastern Africa, that is responding, as it was in the beginning, is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. And here's one that's from the Manila, Philippines. And May Minito or Del Mindo, you know, it's in the Philippines. So Filipini. I don't know that how exactly how to do that, I get the message. They're thankful.
And well, for those that spoke up and let us know you're out there, first of all, Lord, please give them a very special blessing of your presence in their lives, Lord. Give them that peace and joy that's beyond human understanding, that because of the Jesus starting the Catholic Church and bringing us the seven sacraments, we have things that give us a strength and power that the world as a whole doesn't have. They don't, because they have a free will, and they have either out of ignorance or just out of designing their own gods. There's all kinds of reasons that people either don't embrace the Catholic Church and the teachings that the good Lord has given us in the sacraments, or, you know, it's it's just, we need to pray for all of them. But Lord, a special prayer for those that called in tonight from the Philippines, from Africa, and from Cleveland, Tennessee area. Give them all they need, Lord, as they experience things in spirit, mind, their body. Give them healing, strength, and help them in their zeal for you, Lord, for you. And God bless you, Donald. Thank you. Go ahead. Go ahead.
And here's from Bangkok, Thailand. That's pretty cool. Very cool. And San Guan, Gwann. That's
That is
and
awesome.
And Good, Virginia. And then here's one from Lavaca, Texas. And so there's just so many here.
That is so awesome, Donald. And let's go ahead and start tonight so that they can enjoy what you put together for tonight.
All right. Well, then, Michael, you've been listening. What do you think of what Gregory's been saying?
Quite incredible. And we actually have more support. The Knights of Columbus released a letter from the Supreme Knight, and I'm just going to read a portion of it. As a fraternity of Catholic gentlemen, there is nothing more important to us than the Holy Eucharist. It is spoken of frequently as the source and summit of the Christian life. Catechism of the Catholic Church, 1324. For this specific reason, our bishops in the United States launched a national Eucharist revival, a three-year initiative last June, and the Knights of Columbus is offering its full and wholehearted support. And then he goes on to list a number of resources that the Knights of Columbus has via their website and through other things. And he says, there are a number of ways our councils can support this effort, from the level of your parishes and personal adoration time all the way to the National Eucharistic Congress in 2024. Okay, let me shift gears.
Well, let me mention one thing for all the listeners tonight, too, something to keep in your prayers, because we're going to have a very special Eucharistic Marian Conference in Springfield, Missouri area on the 25th, which is the Feast of the Annunciation. And we'll have five priests and a deacon and probably six or eight nights that will be an honor guard for the Blessed Sacrament, which we will walk with in the city of Springfield, Missouri. And then we will walk through the campus, which is a very liberal campus there in Springfield, Missouri, and back to the O'Reilly Student Center, where we will have a Marian conference. But in the procession, just to give you an eye, so you can look through my eyes, in the procession we will have leading the procession the priests with the Blessed Sacrament, with our Lord himself will be there in his real presence with us. And also behind that, we will have a statue of Mary and a piece of Mary's clothing from the Vatican. And behind that, we will have, the first thing right ahead of her will be a piece of the true cross that Jesus died on. And then behind that, Mary's clothing. And then behind that, and I just received this from an exorcist priest, that it's a first-class relic of Pope Peter, the first pope, you know. And because in that diocese, the patron of the diocese is Pope Pius X, who was a warrior bishop for the good Lord. We'll follow that. And just a little note on Pope Pius X, too, because I'm not going to tell you all, we don't have time, but he's the one that lowered the age from 12 to 14 years old for your first communion down in 1910. He lowered that age to receive your first communion down to 7. So everyone since 1910 has been able, when they were 7 years old, to receive Eucharist for the first time. Very, very special. So all those will be part of that procession that we'll be doing in the Springfield. And if Donald's free, come on down, Donald. God bless you.
I'm very much thinking about that. And just to let you know, I got somebody here from Tanzania, T-A-N-Z-A-N-I-A. You know, I've never seen that one before, so I thought that was pretty cool. And so there's so many.
A special blessing for each of them tonight. Give them all they need for their families, Lord. Give them all they need to be in eternity with you, Lord. Give them your strength, Lord. We can't do it in our own strength, Lord, and we can all know in our own lives, you know, you died for us while we were yet sinners. And as sinners, having been sinners and still, hopefully we're trying to put all that behind us and repent of all that. But we know how unworthy we are, even more so than Saint John the Baptist, you know, and who felt unworthy to unloosen the sandals of Jesus. And I know myself, I won't speak for anyone out there, but I know that I'm unworthy even to unloosen John the Baptist's sandals, who was unworthy to unloosen the Lord's sandals. So, I mean, I'm steps away from the good Lord as far as unworthy, but he loves us so much. Just listen to that. He loves you so much, he won't leave anyone an orphan. If you're listening tonight, understand, this is happening because of a holy God that loves you so much. And the world is attacking all the families and individuals in the world right now. Satan is attacking everyone. And so we all need the supernatural strength of the good Lord to make it to that, through that final race like St. Paul did, that we finish the race together, and that one day I want to hopefully be able to meet each one of you in heaven with the good Lord. Isn't that going to be a wonderful reunion? You know, you're here tonight and you say, hey, remember the night we listened to that together? And we listened to these Eucharistic miracles and you brought us together, and now we're here with our Creator and we're here with His Mama. I cannot wait, you know. I want to someday just wake up in the good Lord's arms and look into Mama's eyes, you know. And that's what he loves each of you so much with a peace and joy that's beyond human understanding. And if you have that from the good Lord and he wants to give it to you, in our free will, we can work. Use our efforts for him, to glorify him, put him first in everything we do. We put God first. And when we do that, the good Lord will bless it. And so even in your toughest times, no matter what's your cross that you have to bear, that if daily we pick it up with patience and love and are doing it for his glory, he will honor that. He will bless that. Because the world will be against you in doing that. They may spit on you and, slap you or whatever. But it'll all be worth it once we're together in eternity. You know, so, Donald, go ahead and have somebody read tonight if you want to.
Okay. Just somebody from Bacau, B-A-C-A-U, Romania. And so thank you for And Alberta, Calvary, that would be in near Canada. That's pretty, really cool. And so where is that? Let's see. Tepeyac. That would be in Mexico, you know, where Our Lady of Guadalupe is. I believe Tepeyac Hill.
I'm going to take this opportunity one more time, Donald. God bless you. God love you. And just everyone out there, listen to what I'm going to tell you right now. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. Because I don't, 24 hours a day, I try to serve the good Lord. And I'm nobody special. But I'm telling you that he does more than we ever expect. You know, and just to hear the different ones that are here tonight, let me give this to you. I hope you can hear it with the Holy Spirit, because I don't want you to do this because Bob did it or Sally did it or someone you know did it, but do it because of the Holy Spirit. And I try to suggest to people every time, before you do what I'm about to tell you, go before the Blessed Sacrament and just pray and talk to the good Lord like we're talking now. Lord, help me. I need your help. I'm weak as a person. I need you to be my strength and lead me to where I need to go. And Lord, we know that you gave a special, special grace and blessing to Our Lady, our Mama Mary, our Mama. Such a special grace. And because we know that, and she's like a general that leads the greatest evangelist that ever lived to bring souls to her son. And if we will make a consecration, listen to what I'm telling you, consecrate yourself to the Sacred Heart of Jesus through the Sorrowful and Immaculate Heart of Mary. And I can tell you this, that good Lord will bless that, and Mary will be able to take you places you can never go in your own flesh. Never in your own flesh will you ever be able to get there. But he's given her special, special graces to be able to share that, to bring everyone that she can to her son. So if you will make that consecration, you know, I know they have ones that you can get, and I would send it out to every one of you. If you call in to Donald or email him and say, can you send me a copy of the consecration to Jesus through Mary? And I don't care where you live in the world right now. If you will get a hold of us either by email or by phone and let Donald know that you would like to have one, and I will take it upon myself to get you a copy, okay? God bless you, and enjoy tonight. We better start going, Donald, or we're not going to have time, I guess. God bless you.
All right, then, Mike, you got it right there, right?
Okay, I'm ready to roll.
Let's rock and roll.
Okay,
I'm
the Catholic
on
Defender.
The rock.
And your name's on the roll, along with mine.
Yeah.
The Catholic Defender, Eucharistic Miracles, Lessons from the Bible and Saints. Clear out the old yeast so that you may become a fresh batch of dough, inasmuch as you are unleavened. For our Paschal Lamb Christ has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast not with the old yeast, the yeast of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Saint Mary Ann of Jesus of Paradise ate an ounce of dry bread every 8 or 10 days, surviving solely on the Eucharist, which she received during daily communion, given to ecstasies, had gifts of prophecy, remote viewing, reading of hearts, healing by making the sign of the cross and sprinkling with holy water, and at least once restored a dead person to life. St. David of Wales practiced the greatest austerities, ate hardly anything, slept for only 3 hours a night for years, had the gift of prophecy, and reportedly performed miracles. Practiced the greatest austerity, ate hardly anything, slept for only 3 hours a night for years, and had the gift of prophecy and reportedly performed miracles. Pope Benedict the 16th. Again, there is a story that comes from the saying of his devout father, according to which the devil was compelled by God to show himself to a certain abbot Apollo. He looked black and ugly, with fragmentedly thin limbs, but most strikingly, he had no knees. The inability to kneel is seen as the very essence of the diabolical. But I do not want to go into more detail. I should like to make this one more remark. The expression used by St. Luke to describe the kneeling of Christians is unknown in the classic Greek. We are dealing here with a specifically Christian word. With that remark, our reflections turn full circle to where they began. It may well be that kneeling is alien to modern culture, insofar as a culture, for this culture has turned away from the faith and no longer knows the one before whom kneeling is the right, indeed, and intrinsically necessary gesture. A man who learns to believe learns also to kneel. In the face of a liturgy no longer familiar with kneeling would be sick at the core.
Wow.
Where it has been lost, kneeling must be rediscovered, so that in our prayers we remain in fellowship with the apostles and martyrs, in fellowship with the whole cosmos, indeed in union with Jesus Christ himself. Joseph Ratzinger, Cardinal, the theology of kneeling from Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger's book, The Spirit of the Liturgy. St. Conrad of Placenta. Yeah.
But hold on, Mike. I just wanted to make a point there that I think that this is a good reason why we should kneel when we receive the Eucharist. And that's just my coming at with that. And so do you agree with that, Greg?
That's the number one way, Donald, that and we've lost this in the church so much. And I'm proud of the ones in the Philippines and in Africa and Mexico and different places that still do it properly, that are humble in their walk. But, and I'm not saying anything about anyone's heart. I don't judge heart, that belongs to the good Lord. But if you look at most of the masses today and everybody that goes up to communion, a child watching, a Protestant watching, someone that is not of the church that's watching, and I've even had children, 6th, 7th, and 8th graders, when I talk to them, say, does it look like they believe that they're getting ready to receive the Creator of the universe, you know, that the good Lord is going to give them a piece of his body, that he's going to be given a piece of the body of Christ? And even young people, in their innocence, they say no, because they're not seeing it. They're not seeing it like I saw it when I was growing up. I lived in a bubble, I guess, because at the time, you know, the kneeling and first of all, if anybody says, well, I can't kneel, okay, well, the good Lord already knows. You know, you're not, it's not something that, you know, you don't kneel, you're going to hell. That's for sure. It's not the truth. You know, you do what you can do to show glory to God. You know, and most people, and from children up through adults, you don't see that happening at many of the masses where people go up to receive the Eucharist. And, you know, it does not look like that person is getting ready to go up there and receive the Creator of the universe on his tongue and go down into his heart. It doesn't look like it. And again, I'm not judging the heart. There's people that I know are much more holy than I am. I'm saying, what do people see? Is the reverence there? You know, they've done so many things that they've messed with liturgy all over the world. And so when you have a strong shepherd that really cares about souls, it is so awesome, you know. And I've seen different ones that they'll put up kneelers, or, you know, because they took out so many of the railings and stuff for people to go up and kneel. But still, there's people still that go down and kneel and receive the Eucharist out of total honor, glory, and reverence to the King of Kings, the creator of the universe. And that's what we should be doing with a zeal and excitement that we get to be with the good Lord, and he's letting us come up to be before him. I cannot believe in reality anyone, if we really thought about it, and Jesus walked into the room, wouldn't be on our faces, you know, that we would be down before the creator of the universe. We take things so casual in today's climate, you know, especially here in the United States. I'm not going to say I don't live in other countries right now. I've been to some different countries, but I don't live there where the people, what they experience. And God bless you with in whatever crosses you have to bear. But, just bringing back the reverence for when we receive the Eucharist is so, so important. So do what you can when you can. The good Lord sees you, and he sees your heart. So do what you can out of love for him.
All right. Okay, Mike.
Okay, one quote I'll mention, and I hope I have this right because I couldn't find it in the book, is that because Christ was born in a cave, all who see him must stoop or kneel. To stoop is the mark of humility. The proud refuse to stoop, and therefore they miss divinity. Fulton J. Sheen. Okay, back to the saints. St. Conrad of Piacenza, miracle of the bread. The miracle for which Conrad is best known is the miracle of the bread. It's developed during the aforementioned framing famine, which affected Sicily as a result of the severe outbreak of the bubonic plague on the island during 1348-49. That was a few hundred years ago. During that catastrophe, anyone who came to St. Conrad for help was given a loaf of bread still warm, which it was said he had received from the angel. Conrad was beatified in 1615 and canonized in Piacenza in 1645. He is invoked as a patron of hernia sufferers due to several healings that were attributed to him. Imelda Lambertini, 1322 to May 12, 1333, is the patroness of First Communicants. Wearing First Communion dress, chapel veil was attached to a chaplet of flowers on their head and rosary. She fully immersed herself in a life of devotion, exceptional in the child of her age. From her youngest days, Blessed Imelda had an all-consuming desire for unity with Jesus and Holy Communion. As young as 5 years of age, she expressed a deep desire to receive Jesus and the Blessed Sacrament for making her First Communion. Nobody was at all surprised when one day at the age of 9, she sought her parents' permission to enter the local Dominican convent. Imelda had a strong desire to become a religious sister. I am sure that her parents nearly died from the shock of losing their darling girl so early in life. This girl wanted the Eucharist so badly that Jesus directly intervened. Emilia Lambertini began doing God's work at the young age of 5. She was born in Bologna in the year 1322 and was an only child. Her parents were devout Catholics, were actively involved in charity work, supporting the poor and the downtrodden in the city. When Emilia was baptized, she was given the name Magdalene. Growing up, she was inspired by many stories about Jesus and Mary that her parents told her. They instructed her in the faith of the church. Her mother herself was particularly devoted to the souls in purgatory. The little girl was so devoted that she prepared a special corner in her room where she could spend a long time thinking about the child Jesus. At age 5, she had already started requesting to receive Holy Communion, always nursing the emptiness she felt upon rejection, since at the time the minimum age was around 14. The convent went up. When she was 9 years old, she desperately wanted to become a nun. To her, all that mattered was devoting her entire life to God and focusing on reaching heaven. She began pleading with her parents to let her join the convent, as it was not uncommon for parents to allow their children to make such a move at that time. So they allowed her to move into the convent of St. Mary Magdalene outside Bologna. Young Magdalene was too young to wear the Dominican habit. Although she pleaded with the nuns, so they eventually gave in. That's a miracle in itself. She was filled with so much joy, they gave her the habit and started calling her Sister Amelia. Sister Amelia began to devote herself to prayer and penance. She was only 9 at that time, yet she already worked hard in obeying the rules of the order. Sister Amelia discovered a corner in the back of the convent garden, made a small replica of Calvary. She would meditate there on the sufferings of Jesus. She still longed so much to receive Jesus in communion and would ask, how is it possible to receive Jesus into one's heart and not die of joy? The miracle. The priest returned and was shocked at the sight. He knew then what to do, as he held the paten and knelt in adoration before the resplendent host. As soon as he knelt, the host slowly descended on the paten. He gave the host to Sister Mildred, who was overjoyed to receive her first communion. However, the love and joy she felt was just too much for her. Upon receiving communion, she closed her eyes and died. Her heart still filled with her Savior and his love. She was beatified in 1826 by Pope Leo XII and declared patroness of first communion. The feast is set for May 12th. Blessed Amelia, pray for us to love Jesus as you do. Amen. On May 12, 1333, at the age of 11, God's plans for her were made manifest. She knelt at her usual spot in the choir and watching others receiving Holy Communion. Amelia prayed and wept. She wanted to receive Jesus so badly. She remained where she was, even as Mass ended and the priest and nuns left the chapel. The nuns were leaving suddenly, smelled a beautiful fragrance as they headed back into the chapel. To their amazement, they saw a brightly lit host hovering above Amelia's head. So they hurriedly went to get the priest. During her stay at Pocino, Dominican St. Agnes Ferry would go into the monastery garden alone to pray near an olive tree. One Sunday morning at the break of dawn, she was immersed in prayer from the break of dawn, and only after several hours realized that this was a feast day and that she was obliged to attend the Holy Mass in the monastery choir. However, an angel of the Lord came during an Immaculate Host, giving her a Holy Communion. The incident was repeated on other occasions as well. The origin of prayer Anima Christi is uncertain. However, the prayer itself can be traced to go back to the 14th century. Popular devotions. St. Ignatius Loyola, October 23, 1491, and July 31, 1551, a Spanish priest and father of the Society of Jesus, became a key proponent for the Anima Christi prayer. Consider who St. Ignatius was, his history. At one time, he was a man of power. He was a soldier who had a different mindset that is common among those whose pride can cause a person to fall away from God. He grew up with much pride, wanting to be famous, not for being religious, but for being a soldier and immolating El Cid, the Knights of Camelot, and other popular stories of the time. St. Ignatius had developed a skill with the sword, winning numbers of duels, once killing a Moor who had denied the divinity of Christ. He was also known as a womanizer. He was a man who was pursuing his own hopes and dreams. However, in St. Ignatius' case, the Lord had a different plan. He was wounded at the Battle of Pamplona when a cannonball ricocheted off a wall where he was sitting, near shattering his right leg. When he was recovering, Ignatius began reading the lives of the saints and spiritual works which transformed his life. for the transformed life that he nations began using that fire from within that he had for personal glory and turned his whole being to promoting the glory of God. At some point, the I Am a Christian caught his eye and he placed this prayer in his classic writings with his spiritual exercises to help popularize the prayer. The Anima Christi goes as follows. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. Body of Christ, save me. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. O good Jesus, hear me. Within thy wounds, hide me. Separated from thee, let me never be. From the malignant enemy, defend me. The hour of death, call me. Close to thee, bid me. And with thy saints, I may be praising thee forever and ever. Well, that just covers all of it. The prayer follows the importance of Jesus' bread of life discourse found in the Gospel of St. John, 6:51-59. At Mass, we receive the actual body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, recognizing Jesus' presence in the Eucharist. Before a soldier goes into battle, it's important to prepare oneself beforehand, giving them the necessity, aid to fulfill the mission. Taking that mindset, recognizing the great need we have for Jesus and fighting the battles of life. The Anima Christi implores what is necessary to be sanctified, to be saved, to be inebriated, to be washed, to be strengthened. Jesus, who loves us without measure, does hear us, does hide us, keeping us close to himself. Jesus is our deliverer and our protector from the evil one. In the Anima Christi, there are 11 petitions, which are very important. Soul of Christ, sanctify me. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. We ought to give thanks to God for you always, brothers loved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits of salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in truth. Body of Christ, save me. Romans 8:38-39. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor present things, nor future things, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Blood of Christ, inebriate me. 1 Peter 2:24. He himself bore our sins in his body upon the cross, so that free from sin, we might live for righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. Water from the side of Christ, wash me. 1 John 3:23. Beloved, we are God's children now, but we shall be as not yet been revealed. We do know that when it is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has his hope based on him makes himself pure as he is pure. Passion of Christ, strengthen me. Philippians 4:13, I have the strength for everything through him who empowers me. O good Jesus, hear me. 1 John 5:14, and we have this confidence in him that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Within thy wounds, hide me. Isaiah 53:5, but he was pierced for our sins, crushed for our iniquity. He bore the punishment that makes us whole. By his wounds, we were healed. Separated from thee, let me never be. 2 Thessalonians 3:6, we instruct you, brothers, in the name of Jesus, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to shun any brother who conducts himself in a disorderly way, and not according to the traditions they receive from us. From the malignant enemy, defend me. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there be any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. At the hour of death, call me. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful, and by him you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And close to thee, bid me. James 4:8-10. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Bend your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you of two minds. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. And with the saints I may be praising you forever and ever. Amen. Daniel 7:18. But the Holy One of the Most High shall receive the kingship and possess it forever and ever. On January 29, 1890, the Catholic convert Cardinal Newman referred to the Anima Christi as his creed with a little unique translation. Soul of Christ be my sanctification, body of Christ be my salvation, blood of Christ fill all my veins, water from Christ I'd wash out my stains, passion of Christ my comfort be, O good Jesus, listen to me. In thy wounds I fain would hide, never to be parted from thy side. Guard me should the foe assail me, call me when my life shall fail me. Bid me come to thee above with thy saints to sing thy love, world without end. Amen. The Anima Christi is a great prayer for the spiritual warrior who often finds himself out on the perimeter fighting the battle, keeping the faith. But the richness of Christ's word is that it often reveals a deeper truth if you know where to look. When we accept Christ, we accept the loving gift of a second chance. Because of his death on the cross, we have a clean slate. The unleavened bread represents Jesus' sinless life. He is the only perfect sacrifice for our sins. In John 6:35, Jesus boldly states that he is the bread of life. Not only does he remove the sin, he nourishes our souls. That arrival is the day the church was born, Pentecost. Okay? And the harvest began with 3,000 souls. The message spread to both Jew and Gentile, the two leavened loaves and bread extending the harvest to us. The Jewish leaders condemned Jesus, and he, burdened with the sin of all mankind, was led out of the city to be crucified. He himself is a sacrifice for those who are sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of the world. Jesus is called Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. He put on a temporary tabernacle, a human body, to dwell on this earth, and he offers himself as a sacrifice. Bethlehem means house of bread.
Yes, Bethlehem means house of bread, and thank you, Mike. That's quite a bit there, but it's a mouthful. But I thought it was, you go from top to bottom. And if anyone would like to look into this article, it is called The Catholic Defender, Eucharistic Miracles, Lessons from the Bible and Saints. And so it's got a lot there. And I hope that it will help anyone who is wanting to build on their holy faith. And so with that, who did we? Did we lose somebody? I think Gregory left. Okay, Doc, you've been sitting there and watching, listening to that for a good while. What do you think?
Yeah, I was listening to it. There was a lot of static. I was having a hard time hearing it. But we talked about a lot of those things before. And the fact that these things are happening, people need to realize there is a battle going on just outside our sight. Now, one of the things Greg was talking about, the Eucharist and the lack of reverence for it. Yeah, we need to kneel. You said it yourself. When you go to receive God, when you receive, you really think your hands are worthy enough to touch God? Seriously, you're just going to pay like Kevin's a participation trophy? We should receive God on our knees like the worthless sinners we are, begging for his forgiveness and thanking him for his mercy. There are reports, and these are Gallup reports and Pew reports and everything. I've seen several of them, that upwards of 50% of the people don't even believe in the real presence of God in the Eucharist. And, I have my own theory on why that is, but the fact of the matter is, the Eucharist is Catholicism. Catholicism is the Eucharist. You can't call yourself a Catholic and not believe in the Eucharist. That's like me calling myself a professional painter because I painted the doghouse. No, it doesn't work that way. You know, the Eucharist is Catholicism. It's that simple. And people need to be made aware of that. Because if you receive it unworthy, well, there's a penalty for that. And it's not one you want to pay, I promise you. So, that's all I got.
Well, Mike, since you've gone through that, what did you think about that, about Satan had no knees, so he can't kneel? What did you think of that?
That was interesting. And if I remember it correctly, he talked about the, if he had no knees and couldn't kneel for a medical reason, that's one thing. But if he had no knees because he refused to kneel, that's a whole nother ball game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, there have been times I wasn't able to kneel, you know, because of an injury. You know, I have a lot of injuries, especially with my knee. You know, I've damaged them. So there are times where it's a physical impossibility. But if I can, by God, I'm going to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Lord looks on the heart.
Yeah, that's what Greg was saying, too.
He doesn't look at where your knees are. He looks at where your heart is.
True.
Yeah.
True, but if your heart is in the right place, your knees will fall in line. You know, I mean, I know we're supposed to do a lot of stuff in secret, but then again, at the same time, we are supposed to profess our faith in God. If you truly believe that wafer is the Almighty God, phenomenal cosmic power, itty-bitty living space, then you really going to just walk up and just get it in your hand? Really? I think that's a little arrogant. I mean, that's just me. I think that shows arrogance on our part.
When it is consecrated, that's the big thing.
Yeah. I mean, it's the consecrated body and blood of God. Really, you just gonna walk up and give him a high five? Yeah,
you know,
we
as Catholics are asked to take a great deal on faith, and I think when we get to heaven, He is going to take us backstage and show us not what we already believe, but how it was done. Like going into a television studio and they show you how all the special effects are accomplished. It's going to be much better than that.
I have
a
quote here from Saint Henry or John Henry Newman on that very thing. It says, "We think that we are the lords of our world, who may do as we will. We think the earth is our property and its movement in our power, whereas it has higher lords besides us and is the scene of a higher conflict than we are capable of conceiving. It contains Christ's little ones, his angels, and those at length shall take possession of it and be manifested. At present, all things to appear continue as they were from the beginning of creation. Scoffers ask, where is the promise of his coming? But at the appointed time, there will be a revealing of the Son of God." And that's from Romans 8:19. "And the hidden saints will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their fathers." Matthew 13:43, when the angels appear, and that it goes on to talk about the angels and stuff appearing at the to the shepherd. But like I said, there is a battle going on all around us, and we need to be made aware of it. And sadly, the shepherds aren't the ones telling us, so we got to tell each other. There's a battle. And we have a role to play in it. We are the church militant. If you hear this, if you're here, to steal it from a movie, if you're hearing the sound of my voice, you are the resistance. There you go.
Well, guys, we are at that time, so thank you. And I know, Doc, you were hanging on there. I do appreciate it. And then, Mike, thank you for the that was quite a bit. And so thank you, and Greg also in the intro. I'm glad that he was able to come on, and he's already working on these speaking engagements. So he just came in and gave us a little moment. And so we're thankful to Greg, and we're thankful for everybody out there. So
amen.
God bless you, Doc. And thank you also, Mike.
Thank you.
And we'll see you guys, well, next bat time. Well, I guess part time will be next Friday, these men they call nights. That's the next one. And okay. And I just got my fourth degree card today, which is awesome. Okay, so that's good. So I'll see you guys next week. God bless you. And we'll just say, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And so we'll end this with Jesus and Moses. I love the story of Jesus and Moses. Good night, guys. Good night, everybody.
The testament you read divides into one thing that's old and one that's rather new. One book is to divide its love from grace. But that don't mean that either's out of place. Do you remember in the wilderness, the Israelites of Moses tell them this? One day another prophet he will come, and we would see that that was God's own son. It was to Jesus and Moses. Be sure you know how many